Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
So it's just after 6 o'clock in the morning here in Andalusia, and you'll have to pardon the slightly croaky voice. Lots of shouting, lots of raising my voice yesterday, and not a lot of sleep. Not because of partying, but because of watching the extraordinary games between Germany, Hungary, France and Portugal. Then to bed and up, up before the crack of dawn, as I'll explain to you. As I look out to my right at the moment, the sun is beginning to rise over what you call hills in this part of Andalusia, because Andalusia has its mountains, but they're not surrounding us at the moment. So to our left and right are lots of low, flat plains, little bumps in the far distance on the horizon, and this kind of orange lava glow coming up from left to right all across my vision. And the easy thing to say is the sun is coming up on Thursday, but the sun is not setting on the Spanish football empire. Not for the moment, at least. And what's keeping me going and keeping me recording is the buzz, the endorphins still felt from Wednesday afternoon. Because what we got is a mixture of the drama, the tension, but also then about an hour, maybe 70 minutes of precisely the reason that you're listening to this and I'm talking to you. A reminder of precisely why it is that we love football, why it occupies so much of our time, our thinking, our planning, our money, our passion, our energy, because irrespective of this being Spain's chance to qualify or go out, irrespective of poor old Slovakia being mercilessly pummeled by the end of it, what we saw was football at its most beautiful. I really thought that there were long passages of flow and invention and risk, and remorseless hunger, ambition to win during most of the second half, maybe a little bit of the first half too. The mix of still frustration when the goals initially wouldn't go in, but Spain were still knocking at the door, and yeah, they missed another penalty. And I'm talking like Joe Strummer there in my own ear. I can't believe it. We all need people. Sorry, Joe. But I suppose Spain gave us a little appetizer, kind of go, hey, look, mousy mousy, here's the cheese. We're going to keep missing chances again, because they should have scored two or three around the penalty itself. By the time the penalty went in, I remember writing The big question now is, the big question now is mentality. Because the other day against Poland, the shoulder slumped only once, not initially once Lewandowski scored, but once the penalty was missed by Moreno, there was definitely a slumping of shoulders and here we go again. Because whatever people say in press conferences, when you're out there in the heat of battle and you pull the trigger and the bullet gets lodged in the chamber, you feel fear. When Luis Enrique wandered along the training pitch to speak to us on Tuesday, I guess it was, I used the expression, "Bienvenido a la burbuja de fe." Burbuja means bubble, and we've all been... The phrases that this pandemic has made us used to that we never used before, and bubble is one of them. I said, welcome to the bubble of faith. And he knows that this isn't me or any of us trying to ingratiate ourselves. We believed, and I hope to a good extent you believe too, that Spain had it within themselves to finish, to play better, to qualify. That didn't seem to me to be an issue. You look at the previous two games and even the Portuguese friendly and you say the underlying trend is that even when they're not playing fantastically well, Spain are creating a barrel load of good opportunities, not just chances, but really good, they'll go in. And when I did the research for my ESPN article prior to the Slovakia game, looking back reminded me every now and again Spain cut loose. Under Lopetegui, it was, 6 against Argentina, 3-0, a pumping against Italy. Under Robert Moreno, in between the two Luis Enrique spells, there were big wins, including an easy one against Romania, but I don't count Romania as top level internationally at the moment, not for a while. But under Luis Enrique, for example, they put, 6 past Croatia. All right, a little bit under strength after the World Cup final, but they put 6 past Croatia. Let's not muck about. They take half of that in Copenhagen on Monday. They put 6 past Germany. They put 4 past Ukraine. Every so often, Spain lashes out. And if you find a team that wants to go toe-to-toe, or one that's a little bit slow, one that's missing personnel, Spain can put you to the sword. I go back to the game itself. And I want to hand applause to Spain's manager because he's chippy. And I like that. If he thinks you're treading on his toes, he will jab right back. If he thinks you've asked something stupid, or if you've been a little bit unnecessarily cheeky or irreverent, then you'll hear about it. He's quick-witted too, but he's rather bellicose. And he warned people, particularly after being asked if he feared for his job, he warned people in the build-up to this game, once you uncork this bottle, the champagne will go everywhere. It's an image. He also said, unblock. That was the word. I think I mentioned that in a previous big interview at the Euros. It was the time that made me think, okay, maybe it's Joaquin Valdez, his sports psychologist, who's always at his elbow, that has used the phrase first to Luis Enrique. I don't know. You have to pan for gold. If you've got an image of what the Gold Rush people used to do, down to the stream, take a pan full of silt and water, but sieve it through, sieve out all the water and the silt, and if not a nugget, then traces of gold. Gold. And you have to do that with responses to your questions sometimes. And when Luis Enrique said unblock, it felt to me like, not maybe subconscious, maybe it slipped out, but a helpful, tacit acceptance that although the problem was miniature, it was there. It wasn't just, I've hammered on about this investing of a personality in a football, like the ball didn't want to go in. No, Luis Enrique talked about his players unblocking themselves. Now, that's important because when the penalty doesn't go in against Slovakia, you have to be honest and say, Morata took it reasonably well. It's better than Moreno's penalty because it's within the posts. It's not along the ground. And yet, if it's 6 inches higher, it goes in. Because Dubravka's dive, I think, is really athletic, really quick. And his upper hand, his upper arm, is strong. It makes a good save. You know, world-class, unbelievable stop. Okay, maybe not. Keepers are trained for that. But it ain't the worst penalty you've ever seen by a long chalk. So the save is good. And I wondered, I wrote at the time, state of mind. Is it going to be a moment when there weren't players in red shirts? This time there were players in white shirts. And for those who are superstitious, of course, even this was Cartuja again and Sevilla, Spain were the away team, and there are people in the football community who go, ah, that's where our luck changed. If you hear the sound of hoofs coming, don't look for a zebra, it'll be a horse. The predominant message there is that it's usually the main normal thing that can explain what you're curious about. And the fact was that it wasn't because Spain were playing in white or because they were the away team that they won. It's because when the penalty was saved by Dubravka, Spain went up a gear, not down. In the end, I'm really sorry for the Newcastle keeper, and I was happy at the end to be able to point out to him that there were a couple of blading races, away the lads, Newcastle fans in the stand, about 20 rows back, and therefore outside his immediate line of vision as he stood disconsolately in the flash zone. But I was able to say, Martin, look, Newcastle fans with Spain face masks on. So I don't know why the two of them, a man and a woman, had this split personality of being Newcastle stripped, Spain supporting, Dubravka fans. It's a three-way split, isn't it? Which isn't as good as a banana split, but nonetheless. He did his best and gave them a disconsolate wave because he was a sad man. You know why? Because he flapped at the ball and put it in when there wasn't any need to. I guess reaching up, pressure, the sun bursting down onto his face just as he took a swipe at the thing. The timing was all wrong, but he pawed the ball into his own net. And that's, I go back to, the unblocking. It didn't happen immediately, there was a deluge, but the killer goal was, you know, timing. Timing is the secret of great comedy, and timing was the secret of great football too. And this is where my main character of the day comes in. You know, I was happy for Sergio Busquets, who broke down and wept when he was first asked coming off the pitch about the feeling of having been out with COVID, back, missed the game that he could have played in, and now stepped in. It's a 5-0 win. He's captain for the first time, starting captain at a tournament, and he's given star of the match. To see him weeping a little bit was odd, because this is a tough guy. A guy who eventually will be accompanying Xavi on the bench to be the coach and assistant of Football Club Barcelona, all of that, there's no doubt. While I applaud him for the speed of thought and the volley passes and the interceptions and the urgency and intelligence that he adds to Spain's play, the guy who, again, I cannot fail to eulogise as we speed home north, hundreds and hundreds of miles to Madrid. The guy who was on my mind this morning and who thrilled me yesterday is Pedri, because when the ball comes out to him just before halftime and it's a crowded penalty area, and this kind of tidal rush of flotsam and jetsam shirts coming in his direction, he's got a chance to shoot at Dubravka. He's already seen Dubravka make a horror mistake from Sarabia's shot and punch the ball in his own net. Shooting must have been a really good option. And not for Dubravka, I think that's too much. But shooting a goal must have been a good option for Pedri. And yet, what does he do? He produces a little Phil Mickelson bunker shot and dinks the ball. Just dinks the ball up in the air, so that Gerard Moreno can rush onto it, so that Dubravka can't get there in time. Moreno hustles and scrimmages and wins the ball, turns and flicks it up in the air. And good old Laporte, who told me that he was thinking, that time stood still, he was thinking umpteen thoughts in his head about where do I head this ball in order to get it past the keeper. But his big, big salmon leap meant that nobody else was getting near it. And he put it into, as he looked at it, the right-hand corner of the net. It was lovely. That's the moment when Slovakia were broken. And after the break, what we saw was a huge outpouring of, this is how good we are, this is how we want to play. And I think, going back to my intro, if this had been Zaire against Eritrea or Cults against Ceuta, it wouldn't have mattered, because what it represented was just glorious football. The reason that we live and breathe this sport with such passion, this was just an example, a reminder. I can still do this. This is what I'm like. It was pure sexy. Which was your favourite goal? Thank you for those, and there were a few of you who sent in questions or comments for the last episode. Send more in. Tell me your favourite goal. Mine, by miles, was the one scored by Ferran Torres. I am, as they say here, a bit pesado. I get an idea in my head and I pursue it. So I kept asking people around the Spain camp about Dani Alves' quote one time in, I think it's in Take the Ball, Pass the Ball, but I've heard him say it many times, and it's kind of the reason that he's got on his ankle. Dani Alves, the Brazilian Barcelona legend, he's played for almost every other club in Europe apart from Xanthia in Crete. On his ankle, he's got Tweety Pie, the little, I suppose, canary, being pounced upon by, is it Sylvester the cat? I think it is. Anyway, the big cat is about to pounce on him, and what he can't see is that behind Tweety Pie's back, he's got a big hammer or a sword or something. And Danny always equates that to the idea that football is para listos. The best at football are the smart ones. He doesn't talk about technique or height or power or transfer fees. Football is para listos. The smart guys thrive. And that's why I love this goal the best. If you look at, I think it's Koke and Sarabia. Sarabia pretends to, it's a set play that they've worked upon. Sarabia pretends to walk away. It's not quite Anfield against Persona. Sarabia pretends to walk away. Slovakia just drop their guard, forget a little bit. Koke gives it to Sarabia, who threads it backwards to Pedri. And Pedri is there with the cushioned volley 1-2 pass to send Sarabia running past the only nearby marker. And then Sarabia really bundles in the perfectly timed right-footed cross, and Ferran Torres on the run arrives and flicks it through his own legs. Beautiful goal. It reminded me too of Find the Dope. I went to Anfield because, of course, that goal that eventually Divo Origi scored, that was taken so brilliantly by Trent Alexander-Arnold, and he completely ignored Shaqiri, the Swiss, by him and got it in there, and Barcelona had gone to sleep. Find the Dope was the thing at Liverpool. Wait till you know your opponent will doze off. At a throw-in, at a free kick, after a stoppage, just before half-time, just before full-time, Find the Dope. And not to be too harsh on Slovakia, that's what Spain did, and it's why I liked it so much, because they've been looking a little bit pallid, a little bit dopey up until now. And this was ultra special. But of course, what had happened before that was that Pedri had almost disdainfully flicked a lovely right-footed ball into the path of Jordi Alba. Automatismos. Everybody who's listened to our podcast series, The Big Interview, knows about how automatismo is just the Spanish word for players who do things and practice things so fluently, so regularly, and play either club or international football or both together. They do things, important things, quick things, without even thinking. Automatismos are about things you do automatically, like breathing and blinking for the rest of us. Pedri's automatismo meant that he knew Alba was going to be on the run. Alba's beautiful cross was knocked in by Sarabia. These were really blitzkrieg intense moments by Spain. And I enjoyed them because it's just a high calibre of football. And will it be enough to deal with Croatia? Let's wait and see. My guess would be yes. Don't take anything for granted. Croatia set Spain on the path to defeat in Euro 2016 in the third group game, once Spain had dealt easily with the Czech Republic and then absolutely pummeled Turkey. They lost in the third group game against Croatia when they shouldn't have done. They were caught by sucker punch counter-attacks. They didn't work as hard as Croatia. They were therefore condemned to a round of 16 game against Italy in Paris, and home they went. So Croatia won't be treated with anything approaching disdain or overconfidence by Luis Enrique or his squad. But if a mixture, never mind the level of the game against Slovakia, if we have a little dash of grenadine, a little dash of vodka and a little dash of orange juice, and we get our tequila sunrise, i.e. elements of all three group games from Spain mixed in together, with the heavier dose being that of the Slovakia game, I think that'll be enough to beat Croatia. But anyway, back to the sun coming up as we travel here, and the sun not going down on Spain. It was thrilling, it was searingly hot, it was noisy. For Spain, it was a good way to say goodbye to La Cartuja, and it gives me an excuse to break the rules. Not that, as anybody who knows me would say, I need very many excuses to break the rules. But nonetheless, none of the Bet365 Man of the Day awards has ever gone to two men, but it does now. I can't avoid saying that the Bet365 Man of the Day should be Luis Enrique. He kept faith with Pedri. He put Laporte at left centre back. He brought on more young players in a starting lineup than Spain have ever done before at European Championships. He had consistent faith in Sarabia, who had a season competing with Di Maria, Neymar, Mbappe to get in the team. He got injured. He suffered, and he told me badly, from COVID-19. But Luis Enrique, okay, via a message or an email, tapped him on the shoulder, play with me with the image, por favor, and said, you're coming. Luis Enrique only took 24 of his possible 26 picks. He left key obvious candidates like Iago Aspas or Nacho or Jesus Navas and others behind. But he said to Sarabia, come out and play, mate. Come out and play. And he did. He used him in both the first two games. And then when maybe people were beginning to say in the media here, what did he bring? He started him. And Sarabia was magnificent. He's on that list of potential man of the match footballers with Pedri, with Busquets. Luis Enrique threw on Ferran Torres, who was clearly bursting with energy and not really looking for revenge, but looking to show people. He scores. He brings on Pau Torres. I don't know if you quite think he scored, but he certainly forced the goal. Each of them within about a minute of being on. Ferran Torres, first touch. When Azpilicueta felt a heavy muscle overload on his calf and he warned the coaches, it's Adama. Adama Traore. The coach reckons that Adama can cope. He lectures him in defensive responsibility and off he goes. Look, it was a very, very good day for Luis Enrique at the office. The majority of the squad had a family member at that game. I really would love to think that Luis Enrique's wife and kids were there watching him, doing what he does best and having the pressure relieved from his shoulders. His joke about being closer to renewing his contract than resigning came off nicely for him, I would say. But he has to share the award. The Bet365 Man of the Day award also goes to Pedri. This guy is invention in a bottle. He is sensational to watch. Again, I say, it shouldn't be the case that a kid of that age can do what he does. The three big passes that he played that either directly created a goal or were, they call it a pre-assist pass, don't they? Those three passes for the goals that were scored by Laporte, Sarabia and Ferran, to me, were just joyous. I mean, literally joyful. And they're the reason we love this game. So, Pedri and Luis Enrique, a generation apart in terms of ages, but Luis Enrique knows a player. And Pedri, son, you are a player. This has been a very tired and croaky big interview at the Euros. Keep the questions coming in. Keep the comments coming in. See you soon.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There are stories and mythology that this country has woven around Black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders that we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like wary of police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.